This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on African News Tonight.
The important is going to be the first of its kind that you're going to have the Prime Minister of Israel facing criminal charges at the ICC. So it's a big deal for international law. It's a big deal for the Palestinian cause.
That was South African law professor Thembisa Fikude on the International Criminal Court's arrest warrants for Israel's prime minister, his former defense minister, along with the head of Hamas in Gaza. Details coming up also. Kenya says it's investigating how a prominent Ugandan opposition leader was spirited out of Nairobi. And a new study shows that the U.S., Russia, and China are intensifying their competition for global influence. These stories and more on African News Tonight. We start with our top story. The International Criminal Court today issued arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, as well as for Hamas leader Ibrahim al-Masri for alleged crimes against humanity and war crimes. South Africa has been a major voice calling for the action against Netanyahu, in particular for Israel's conduct in its war against Hamas in Gaza. Darren Taylor reports.
In a ruling Thursday, the International Criminal Court said there were reasonable grounds to believe that Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant bear criminal responsibility for the war crime of starvation. It said there were also reasonable grounds to believe they had intentionally and knowingly deprived Gaza civilians of food, water, medicine, medical supplies, and fuel and electricity. It also said that Hamas leader Ibrahim al-Masri, commonly known as Mohammed Deif, is responsible for crimes against humanity for the Hamas attack in Israel on October 7, 2023, which led to the conflict in Gaza. The court's arrest warrants mean the ICC's 124 member states would be obliged to arrest the three men if they enter their territory. Almost a year ago, South Africa filed a case against Israel in the ICC. South African law professor Thembisa Fikude describes the move on Thursday as significant.
Important is going to be the first of its kind that you're going to have the Prime Minister of Israel facing criminal charges at the ICC. So it's a big deal for international law. It's a big deal for the Palestinian cause. But I doubt if Benjamin Netanyahu is going to take it seriously. He's likely to rip off this as he's done with all other injunctions in the past, including several by the United Nations Security Council and United Nations General Assembly.
The Israeli Prime Minister immediately denounced the warrant against him and Gallant as anti-Semitic. Hamas said the warrants should be expanded to all Israeli leaders. U.S. President Joe Biden has previously criticized the ICC prosecutor and supported Israel's right to defend itself against Hamas. The October 2023 Hamas attack killed about 1,200 people in Israel. Militants took about 250 back to Gaza as hostages. Gaza's health ministry says at least 45,000 people in the territory have died since Israel began its assault. The United Nations and aid organizations say much of the territory's population has been displaced and thousands face severe hunger and disease outbreaks because Israel has sharply curtailed shipments of food, medicines, and other goods into Gaza. In a voice recording released to media, spokesperson for the South African President's Office, Vincent Magwenya, welcomed the ICC's actions.
South Africa is committed to the international rule of law, universal respect for human rights, and the settlement of all international disputes by negotiation and not war, and the self-determination of all peoples, including the Palestinians. We have also consistently held that all participants to the conflict must ensure that fighting and hostilities come to an immediate end, that all hostages must be released immediately, and that Israel withdraws its military forces from Gaza. This is the only way in which the rights of the Palestinian civilian population can be protected, and the basis for sustainable peace can be achieved.
Fakude says the arrest warrants will likely complicate efforts to negotiate a ceasefire to end the 13-month conflict. He adds it's unlikely any of the suspects will be facing up to the charges at the ICC anytime soon, as the court itself does not have the means to enforce warrants, instead relying on cooperation from its member states. Neither the United States nor Israel are members of the ICC. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
A new study by Carnegie's Middle East program shows that the United States, Russia, and China are intensifying their competition for global influence. Their involvement and impact vary across the Middle East and North Africa. The study, entitled Navigating Influence, Great Powers in the Middle East and North Africa, identified trade, foreign direct investment, arms exports, and military deployment as four indicators to show trends of engagement with each sub-region in the Middle East and North Africa. Amer Hamzawi, director of Carnegie's Middle East program and co-author of the study, discussed the findings with VOA's senior analyst Mohammed Al-Shinawi.
The study highlights interactions, exchanges between the U.S., China, and Russia on the one hand, and the countries of North Africa and the wider Middle East. The insights we got from researching exchanges in economic sectors, in financial sectors, in diplomacy, in military deployment, arms sales, education exchange programs, quite a wide spectrum of relations have been quite complex. And they deny us any right to generalize in a way similar to what have been said once and again in Washington, D.C. or elsewhere in Europe or in China and Russia, that the U.S. influence in North Africa has been declining. In fact, we continue to see that the U.S. is the number one great power in terms of its presence, military presence on the ground, in terms of its arms sales to the region, in terms of its diplomatic missions, and in terms of its interactions with governments and involvement in education exchange programs and so on and so forth. So the narrative, which has been widely circulated in the last years, that the U.S. is leaving the Middle East or retreating in the Middle East and North Africa, and that its influence is declining, is not accurate. It's actually a case-by-case approach, which we have employed as well. And in it, we saw, for example, that Chinese and Russian influences have been on the rise in Algeria, but not in Morocco. Morocco continue to see in the U.S. its global partner number one, even in terms of trade. Morocco is trading a lot with the U.S. Military and diplomatic cooperation has been on the rise. Tunisia, for example, in the last 10 years, has gone through two phases, a phase in which collaboration with the U.S. intensified between 2011 and 2015-16, and a following phase in which that collaboration has been slightly declining. The same goes for Egypt, quite a mixed balance as well, but the narrative of a declining U.S. is not accurate.
How about China's influence in that great power competition in North Africa?
An interesting insight is the fact that China is actually advancing to be the second great power from a regional perspective, not Russia. Russia's role is more of a disruptive role. It's present militarily, directly and indirectly in places like Libya and Sudan, in West African countries. It signs prestige projects with Egypt, the nuclear facilities, Algeria, nuclear facilities as well. It exports arms. China is advancing to be a real competitor. It's the trading partner number one for a majority of the North African countries. It's invested a lot in infrastructural and developmental projects in the region. It actually even increased its military presence or created a military presence not far away from the region in the Horn of Africa. China's first military base is in outside of China, outside of the mainland, is in Djibouti, in the Horn of Africa. So China is advancing to become a real competitor.
The study said Russia employs a comparable tactic of filling Western vacuums to make inroads in Middle East and North Africa, particularly with respect to Egypt. Likewise, facing internal economic difficulties and rocky relations with the United States, Egypt has leveraged support from Russia to accomplish its own goals. Does that mean, as the study indicated, that Egypt is playing both sides of the Cold War?
Egypt is doing what any country in Egypt's place should be doing, which is to navigate influence and to navigate maneuvering spaces in different ways, benefiting from the competition between the great powers. Right, with the advancement of Chinese policies and Chinese roles in the region, as well as the presence of Russia, many regional middle powers and many regional countries in North Africa see an opening for them to get better conditions for their collaboration. If they are collaborating militarily, diplomatically, as well as in trade and economic issues, no longer with only one partner. Egypt is, in fact, quite keen, is keen on keeping and sustaining good relations with the U.S., understanding that at the end of the day, the U.S. continues to be a strategic partner that's extremely important for Egyptian matters as well as for regional matters. But it's also opening up to Chinese investment, diversifying the sources of arms by importing weapons and weaponry systems from Russia, by signing a deal on nuclear facilities with Russia.
That was Amer Hamzawi, director of Carnegie's Middle East program, speaking with VOA's Mohammed Al-Shenawi. In Guinea-Conakry, the whereabouts of two activists reported missing in the capital in July remain unknown. This despite calls by the United States, the United Nations, and rights groups for their release. According to the Prime Minister's office, the government has not been able to find the activists. VOA's reporter Karim Kamara has more from Conakry.
Ajibu Balde, the special advisor to Prime Minister Bahoui, says efforts to locate activists Biloba and Umaru Sila, who is known as Funike Menge, have been futile. The two allegedly were adopted 4 months ago. He made the disclosure during a public debate in Conakry on Tuesday with activists and members of the opposition. Balde says the Prime Minister wants to know where they are.
At this stage, there is no advance because we have no information precise là-dessus.
He says at this stage there is no progress because they have no precise information on the whereabouts of the disappeared activist. Balde says that's the view of the Prime Minister, who he knows has the matter on mind. Alimatu Kamara is the lawyer of the missing activist.
Funike Menge is the coordinator du FNDC, et c'est un acteur qui est engagé, c'est un militant pro-démocratie. Biloba également.
She says Funike Menge is the national coordinator of FNDC, the National Front for the Defense of the Constitution, and he is a determined fellow and a pro-democracy activist together with Biloba. She says the two young men are determined to fight as long as the democratic process is at risk in Guinea. She says it's regrettable to hear the news from Balde. Family members say the witness members of the Guinean Special Forces and elite of the Presidential Guards arrested the two men in July. They have said they fear Ba and Sila are dead. The military government has denied the allegations, and the state prosecutor said it will investigate their disappearance. The United Nations, the United States, African Union, and many international Red Cross have called for their release. The opposition alleges security forces have killed more than 60 opposition supporters during demonstrations since the military seized power in 2021. Several senior officers who served in the government under former President Alpha Conde have been jailed since the military ousted him. The military had said it would allow democratic elections by the end of this year, but no election date has been set. Last month, the government dissolved more than 50 political parties and suspended the operations of dozens of other parties. For VOA Africa, I am Karim Kamara in Conakry.
Kenya's government says it is investigating how a prominent Ugandan opposition leader was taken out of Nairobi this week amid growing criticism that it failed to protect foreign dissidents on its soil. Kizza Besigye, a longtime rival of Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, disappeared in the Kenyan capital on Saturday. He reappeared on Wednesday at a military court in neighboring Uganda, where he was charged with offenses that include illegal possession of firearms. Uganda's government spokesperson said on Wednesday it did not carry out abductions and that arrests abroad were done in collaboration with host countries. However, in a television interview, Kori Sengoe, principal secretary of Kenya's foreign ministry, said Besigye detention, which he referred to as an abduction, was not the act of the Kenyan government and was being investigated by the Interior Ministry. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. Find us on voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts about the news and our programs by WhatsApp. The number is +1 202 258 3076. Every Wednesdays, we'll be sharing our listeners' comments on Africa News Tonight. Farmers in Kenya are using artificial intelligence to help them get better crop yields. An AI-powered tool called Virtual Agronomist engages directly with farmers to help them create tailored plans to optimize the quality and quantity of their crops. Mohamed Yusuf has more from Moway, Kenya.
Henry Gichobi is using a tool powered by artificial intelligence to assess the soil fertility on his farm in Mwea, Kenya. The AI app called Virtual Agronomist uses a chatbot to communicate directly with small-scale farmers through WhatsApp. Using satellite information, the tool gathers and analyzes data to help Gichobi learn the right type and amount of fertilizers and chemicals needed to maximize his crop yields.
For this technology, it has helped me to know the type of nutrient in the soil, and also it has helped me to know the type of fertilizer to apply in the soil. Okay, before this technology, I was harvesting less than 20 bags, but after applying this technology, it has helped me to harvest 26 bags and above.
Joby uploads photos of his farm. In return, Virtual Agronomist sends back satellite images of his land and recommendations on how to get the biggest and highest quality crop yields. And at a time when farmers face changing weather patterns and the impact of climate change, the app also offers advice on the best type and amount of chemicals to combat pests and disease on the farmers' plots. Nicholas Kinyua, also a farmer, says the AI tool also helped him increase his rice harvest from 20 to 26 bags this season. He says, I was applying a lot of chemicals on my farm, and now I am using less money compared to when I was planting using traditional methods. This technology, he says, has helped me to harvest more food. Judy Kaguya says she saved money using the Virtual Agronomist and expects a larger rice yield when she's done harvesting in coming weeks. Kaguya says she believes she will harvest much more food compared to before. She says, I used too much fertilizer in the past, which cost me a lot and left me unhappy. But now, she says, I feel so happy visiting my farm. I even enjoy spending time here, just admiring my produce. The Innovative Solutions for Decision Agriculture, or ISDA, helps train farmers how to use the app. The organization says over 30,000 farmers in Africa, half of them in Kenya, are using the Virtual Agronomist. Officials say the tool has soil data for the entire continent and helps farmers plant and manage crops such as maize, coffee and tea. Patrick Wanyaka is with Innovative Solutions for Decision Agriculture in Kenya.
The system wants to know what the best farmer is doing so that the farmer is given a recommendation to at least bring the farmer to the best farmer. We want to bridge the gap, because if they are coming from the same locality and the best farmer is doing 30 bags, let's say, and the farmer is doing 20, we want to give the farmer a recommendation that can bring the farmer almost to the best farmer.
Wanyaka says it will take some time to convince many farmers that more fertilizer and chemicals does not necessarily mean they will yield more and better crops. Mohamed Yusuf, VOA News, Mwea, Kenya.
President-elect Donald Trump has nominated longtime ally Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz for the nation's top law enforcement position, Attorney General of the United States. As VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, Gaetz was used to being in the spotlight on Capitol Hill and is now expected to face a tough confirmation process.
A close ally of President-elect Donald Trump. Matt Gaetz is a former Republican congressman and the nominee for Attorney General.
Donald Trump is unstoppable.
Former Republican Representative Matt Gaetz is in the spotlight again, this time as the nominee to serve as the nation's top law enforcement official, the Attorney General of the United States. And while some of his colleagues praise him, Republican Representative Ralph Norman.
He is street smart. He's got the legal background. He is not scared of taking a risk. What he's done in the House has been phenomenal.
Gaetz is being investigated by the House Ethics Committee for various criminal allegations. Gaetz has denied those claims, but many lawmakers remain concerned about his fitness to lead the Department of Justice. Democratic Senator Chris Coons.
Congressman Gaetz, who I do not know personally, certainly has a reputation as a fierce advocate for President Trump, but also has been the subject of credible allegations of significant severe misconduct.
A four-term congressman and member of the House Armed Services Committee, Gaetz challenged the leadership of then-Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, over what he considered excessive government spending.
Real chaos is when the American people have to go through the austerity that is coming if we continue to have $2 trillion annual deficits.
Gaetz used a procedural move to call a historic vote that ended with McCarthy's removal from office.
Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
A self-described libertarian populist, Gaetz's Florida district is considered one of the most Republican-leaning in the nation. Elon Musk praised him earlier this week. The owner of the social platform X said Gaetz will be, quote, a hammer of justice. But many senators, including Republicans, are already expressing reluctance to confirm him without more information about those allegations. Claire Finkelstein is a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania.
It's profoundly problematic to have the highest law enforcement position in the United States occupied by someone who has arguably committed significant crimes. And though he has not been charged with a crime, it is important nonetheless for the Senate to consider his conduct from the standpoint of both ethics and legality, whether the conduct was ever formally charged or not.
The U.S. Senate will consider Gaetz's nomination early next year. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Mali's military government named General Abdoulaye Maiga as the new prime minister today after firing civilian premier Tchogou Kokala Maiga a day earlier following his criticism of the military leaders. Abdoulaye Maiga had until now served as the government's spokesperson. The West African country, plagued by extremists and separatist violence, has been led by the military since back-to-back coups in 2020 and 2021. Abdoulaye Maiga was not in the first group of colonels who overthrew the civilian president in August 2020 and who have since been promoted to generals, but he quickly joined them. Tchogola Maiga, a civilian, recently criticized the military's failure to organize election within a promised 24-month transition back to democracy. That transition period expired at the end of March, and the government later postponed elections indefinitely. And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehia Swuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Cedric Franklin, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.